Isn't that beautiful? What a special treat. Very special treat. It's wonderful to be here. I enjoyed myself so much last summer when I got to come and share with you, and I was really excited and happy when Jackie asked me to come back again, especially with this topic in mind, conversations with God. To me, there is really nothing more thrilling in our walks here on earth than the fact that Almighty God, the God who created the heavens and earth, would want to talk with us, would want to not only have relationship, but would want to commune with us and fellowship with us, and in a very personal and intimate way. And for me, that is the most thrilling part of being here on earth. There's nothing more thrilling to me. And I'm sure you feel the same way. I mean, do you remember the moment you first knew you heard God? Like, it gives me chills sometimes. To this day, sometimes I am, even though I know he speaks, I am alarmed and astounded all at the same time when I do hear him. You know, have you ever, like, just been sitting in the Word and then he just speaks to this place that is so deep, you haven't even articulated it yourself, you haven't even known that thought yourself altogether yet, and he speaks right to it, and literally I've like dropped my Bible like that at times, you know, because I still get amazed at it. So I'm really excited to share with you on this topic. You know, he speaks intimately and personally and powerfully, and he uses his word primarily, but he also uses nature. And he uses people to speak to us as well. In fact, earlier this year, I was on a hike and I saw this butterfly on the ground, and it was dead on the ground. And I was like, "Ooh, super excited!" Because I just love, you know, nature, love found objects, and love monarch butterflies. And so I picked it up and I carefully folded its wings and stuck it in my pocket because I have two dogs I'm also walking at the same time. And so I had to stick it in my pocket and get home, and I put it up on the counter and I just kind of leave it there while I go on with the rest of my day. And probably about 6 hours had passed, and I see a wing on this butterfly on the counter doing this. And my heart dropped. Flashing through my mind is how I had picked it up and stuffed it into my pocket, and how I had brought it home and sat it on the counter and then pushed its wings down because I had plans of putting it between glass and saving it. And so I pressed its wings down, and I even thought, oh, how nice, it's so soft still. Thinking about what I had just done to it, and how in the world, if it weren't already dead, did it even survive my pocket and then survive my mushing down? How was its little wing fluttering? I was literally sick to my stomach. I remember it was a Tuesday, and I had to rush to go to Bible study because I was teaching our Tuesday night Bible study, and I got there, and I told the women who were first there, I was just sick to my stomach, like, this is what happened, and this consumed me. I got home and it was still alive, and the next morning and it's still alive, and it was breaking my heart really truly. And I remember that next day standing in my shower and I was crying about it. I mean, I was so upset that I had thought this little butterfly was dead, but it was alive, and I had just done more harm to it, probably irreversible harm to it. And God, are you trying to speak something to me here? Because you know how I'm affected by these things. You know me. And you put that butterfly in my path, and you knew it was alive, and you knew what I was going to do to it. And are you trying to speak? So please let this have some significance, because I can't bear the thought of this little creature having no significance. And I cried out to God. And in the days that followed my crying out to God, he began to reveal through just this little butterfly and my crying out to him that I was considering somebody or something in my life dead because what I was seeing with my eyes and what I was hearing with my ears looked dead, but indeed was alive. And so, God, please reveal that to me. What is alive that I have been considering dead? And through a person, he revealed it was a loved one of mine. And I knew it was that loved one. And as the days followed, he began to show me that, you're looking with your eyes and listening with your ears to this loved one, and you're assuming she's spiritually dead, but she is spiritually alive. But just like that butterfly, she's fragile, she's broken, and she needs to be handled with care, Cher. You've been handling her carelessly and roughly, and you need to handle her gently. She's fragile. Completely changed the way I look at this loved one of mine. And I didn't know it. This was in February when this had happened. I didn't know that by May, this loved one would be back in my home and under my roof, and I would be handling her every day. But I have this moment, this week, where God took a butterfly and spoke so powerfully, so intimately, so directly, so powerfully, and specifically giving me a revelation, knowledge, instruction, even revealing my own heart, all from a little butterfly. That's God. Only God can do that, right? Well, recently, God's been speaking to me powerfully and specifically through Psalm 73. It's a Psalm of Asaph. And I want you to turn there to Psalm 73. And I'm going to pray for us. Father God, we just come before you this evening, Lord, and we thank you and praise you, God, that you desire to have relationship with us, that you delight to communicate with us, God, that you love to speak, you love to reveal yourself, you want to be heard, you want to be seen, and you want to be known by each one of us, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you will use anything and anyone to speak, God. We thank you for your word that's just always there, Lord, always revealed, always opened up to us. But we thank you that you use even the little things like butterflies, God, to speak powerful truths. And so, God, we give you this time. Lord, will you take these truths from Psalm 73 and your experience that you had with Asaph, God? This is part of your story with Asaph, Lord. When you met with him, when he came to you, God, and you had a conversation with him. And I pray, God, that you would pull out those truths that would bless our communication with you, God, that would really build up our conversations with you, Lord, those things that we can apply, God, and benefit from. And so bless your word to our hearts, magnify it, God, and I pray you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit wants to speak to us personally, intimately, and powerfully, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 73, so this is the place where I'm currently having conversations with God. This has been my meeting place, my sanctuary with God over maybe this past month or so. I've just been sitting in Psalm 73, and God has been speaking a lot of things to me. And when I sat down to and prayed and was asking God what he'd have for us here on Tuesday nights, he said it's found in Psalm 73. And I thought, it is? Because I don't see it. And so I really pressed in and really began asking him, well, show me. Because I don't see a conversation with God in here, you know, between Asaph and God. And so, Lord, you're really going to have to open my eyes to see this and give me some understanding. Interestingly enough, well, this song of Asaph, it's his personal story. It's something that happened between him and God. And it was an intimate thing, but he shares it with us. He shares his heart condition before He had this conversation with God and the results of that time spent with God. And it's so interesting because if you look at verse 17, which is kind of the key verse for tonight, verse 17 says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then..." And I'll just put a dot, dot, dot. it's kind of that's the moment. That's when the conversation with God occurred between Asaph and God. And we're given no details. Not a word about the conversation. Not a word about this meeting in the sanctuary. And I kind of went back to God with this, like, okay, this was the conversation moment. This was the meeting, the communion time with you, Lord. And you don't give me one little detail about what transpired. Asaph gives great detail about his heart condition, where his mind was at, what he was feeling leading up to this moment from verses 1 to 16. And then starting right in verse 17, begins to tell us the results of that time with God. In great detail again, but his time with God, we have nothing. And so it was a great reminder as I thought about this and prayed over this, that our conversations with God are often unexplainable, aren't they? They're often not easily articulated, right? And that's because our true, genuine conversations with God are spiritual. It is God's Spirit speaking to our spirit, speaking to the depths of our soul, and often speaking to such deep places. I've noticed that oftentimes I don't say a word to God. And I'm just listening, and somehow he speaks to those places that, like I said earlier, I haven't even completely formed like a whole thought about yet. And yet they're like all these pieces inside of me that God has collected and knows my thoughts altogether well. He just knows us that well that he can speak to just all those particles of thoughts floating around in there and know the sum of them and speak specifically to them. But to try and articulate that to somebody, we can't even articulate it to ourselves half the time. We just know we have met with God, right? We just know it because only God could have known that thing in me and spoken to that specific and personal thing in me. You know you've been in the tent of meeting, in the sanctuary of God, conversing with him, because like Asaph, you're changed, right? And albeit maybe not as dramatically as Asaph experienced and wrote about in this psalm, because this was like a life changer moment for him, you know, a breakthrough moment. And, you know, we're communing with God perhaps all day long, right? Or at least hopefully in our quiet time with him, we're having that communion and those conversations. And not every morning is a life-altering morning, right? Not every day we can like tangibly say these things are shifting and changing. And yet we know when we're meeting with God, we perhaps maybe have a change of heart about something, right? Or perhaps he's tweaked on our heartstrings a little bit, shifted our thinking, changed our mind about something, addressed an issue, answered a question. But our time with God, we know we've had one because we're changing. Something's being changed in us. And a genuine conversation with God will change us and ultimately, hopefully, benefit others. Well, there's four things that I want to kind of pull out from Psalm 73, things from what Asaph recorded, not just for his benefit, but for our benefit in our communion time with God. So four things, and then those four things are that God speaks and meets with those who are genuinely seeking him. So God meets and speaks with those who are genuinely seeking him. God speaks from truth, in truth, to truth. Thirdly, conversations with God will lead to conversions. And fourth, conversations with God are first private and then public. So at the end of each one of these 4 points, I also want to give you maybe a little like a question challenge that maybe you want to write those down as we go along. So first, God speaks and meets with all those who are genuinely seeking him. Do you ever feel like God speaks more powerfully, more frequently to others than he does you? Do you ever kind of scratch your head like when you listen to somebody else talk about how God has spoken to them or the things God is showing them and you like walk away thinking, am I missing something here? How come I'm not hearing God like that? You know, what do they know that I don't know? Why are they hearing so well and I'm not hearing that well? And you can kind of like think, wow, well maybe, you know, you start to use your reasoning. Maybe it's because God's using them so much more or has, you know, bigger plans for them. So he's speaking, you know, bigger or something. And I wonder if Asaph perhaps felt this way ever. I mean, David, King David, the man after God's own heart, the warrior David, the musician David, the psalm writer David, was his contemporary and peer, his peer. Probably they were friends. Probably they did life together. You know, they were serving God together. They might have even been writing music together. And I wonder, knowing just this mighty man of God, David, if Asaph perhaps felt like God's not speaking to me like that, like he speaks to David. You know, or why doesn't God speak to me that powerfully or that frequently? And maybe he deduced that, you know, well, God has is using David in such a big and powerful way that he has to speak that big to David, you know, and just think, well, he speaks little to me or infrequently or not as powerful because I'm not being used like that. And I just wondered, this was something really tender on my heart to bring to you tonight because I felt like it was something that perhaps somebody here has been wondering and struggling with and maybe even doubting that God wants to speak to you that powerfully and in fact does. That God does not have favorites. He hasn't favored somebody else in your life. You're not in the shadows of anybody. God is speaking powerfully to you, and he is using you, and you do have a story to share with others as a result from your communion time and fellowship with God. And I just want to encourage that in you tonight. And just as important as believing that he desires to speak to you is that he genuinely, what is just as important is that you genuinely seek him, that you seek him like in truth, you know, that you genuinely want to hear him. Now, I know that sounds like a no-brainer, but think about how often you come to a Bible study, you go to Sunday morning service, you sit in your devotions, and you're distracted, you're doing something else. I write my list of things to do sometimes. Right? I'm thinking about what I'm going to do afterwards. Sometimes when I know, like I'm hearing a certain subject come up in the study, la 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 la, like I stick my fingers in my ear, so to speak. I turn a deaf ear because I don't want to hear everything. I'll hear some things, but there are some things I don't want to hear. Well, I want to remind you tonight that God will speak powerfully and frequently to those who genuinely want to hear from him. And if we are picking and choosing and decided what we're going to hear from him, I think sometimes his voice gets a little quiet, you know. But he will be persistent. He won't give up on us. And you better believe he's going to keep speaking to that thing you don't want to hear. But better just to hear it, right? And receive it. Psalm 18:26 says, to the pure you will show yourself pure, and to the devious you will show yourself shrewd. You might remember this if you, did you all do the Luke study this year? Most of you, right? Do you remember Jesus quoted this to his disciples from the book of Luke? Because remember all the people that were coming to him with false motives, asking him questions and inquiring of Jesus for with really not a true intention of knowing Jesus, right? And he reminds them, he quotes Psalm 18:26 and says, to the pure, I will show myself pure. And to the devious, I will show myself shrewd. What does that mean? When he says, to the pure, I will show myself pure, that word pure means sincere. It means sincere. In other words, when you come to God with a sincere, genuine desire to hear from him, he will show himself sincerely, genuinely. And in fact, that word goes on to say easily and clearly. See the benefit? When we go to hear with a genuine heart to hear, you will hear clearly, easily from God if your desire is to know him. But if you show up to commune with God and you don't genuinely want to hear from him, it says to the devious, that is those who come in any sort of deception or falseness or disingenuousness, I will show myself shrewd. And that word shrewd means that you are going to wrestle and struggle to hear from God. That you will have to wrestle and struggle to hear what God is going to speak or wants to speak because of the deception, because of the falseness or disingenuousness. He's looking for that heart, that whole heart to speak into, a heart that's ready to hear from him and wanting to hear even the hard things, right? Even the hard things. So the challenge, Asaph believed that God had something powerful and significant to speak to him. I want to ask you tonight, this is something for you to write down and ask yourself, do I believe God wants to speak powerfully to me? Do I believe God wants to speak powerfully to me? And then secondly, Asaph went into the sanctuary of God because he genuinely wanted to hear from God. And I want to ask you tonight, do you genuinely want to hear from God? Do you even want to hear the hard things? And maybe you can write that down. Do I genuinely want to hear everything God wants to speak to me? Do you know how you know if you genuinely want to hear from God? You'll obey. Whatever it is you're hearing, you're going to agree with, and you're going to obey what you're hearing. And do you know the single most powerful way to develop your spiritual listening skills and ear? Obey what you're hearing all the time, every time. That's the fastest, quickest, most powerful way to develop your spiritual ear. Just obey everything. Okay, secondly, God speaks from truth, in truth, to truth. So what does that mean? Well, God speaks from truth, from the truth of who he is. His very nature and character, the essence of God, is truth. He cannot speak in any other way. In him is no deceit. There is no shifting or changing. He cannot tell a lie. God can only speak from truth because it's who he is. There's no darkness. There's no shadow. He speaks from truth. Well, now he speaks in truth. What is that? Well, that's his word, right? He speaks in truth. That's his expressed communication, is the word of God. So he speaks from his very character, which is truth, in truth, which is his word. Now he'll use many means and modes of expressing right? His word, like a butterfly, like creation, right? Like people who he's given that gift of teaching or knowledge or wisdom or discernment. He'll use those prophetic gifts in people to speak a word of God to us, right? So he has many modes, but that's his mode of transportation, is his word. That's his expressed heart to us. We have all the time God speaking powerfully, alive, speaking to us, all, constantly, never not speaking. God is always speaking in his word. And so we have him speaking from truth, in truth, to truth. What does that mean? God is speaking to the truth in you, the truth of your condition, the truth of your life right now, the truth of your attitude, of your thoughts. He's speaking to that truth. He's speaking from his truth in the power of his word, which is truth, to your truth. So we have nothing to be afraid of. He already knows the truth of you. In fact, he knows the truth of you better than you know the truth of yourself. Right? So there's no reason not to come to God in the genuineness, in the sincerity of, God, I don't understand. God, I don't care. God, I don't love. God, I don't want to. We can come with the genuineness of our truth, even if that truth isn't pretty, isn't godly, isn't right. We can come. He speaks to that truth. He'll speak to your truth. He'll speak to that thing that isn't right yet, to make it right, to make it truth, you know, his truth. That's part of the changing that's going on in your meeting with God. Well, for Asaph, he not only came into the sanctuary because he genuinely wanted to hear from God, he came in the truth of his condition, which was confused and conflicted. His time with God in the sanctuary revealed the truth of God's ways, that all doesn't end well for the wicked. See, this is what he was confused and conflicted about. He was observing the ways of the wicked. They were prospering. They were healthy. Their lives had no trouble. And then he compared it to the life of those who were sanctified unto God and living godly lives, whose lives were plagued, he said, with trouble. Who every day were feeling the correction and chastising of God. And he was comparing the two. And he was so conflicted about this that it cut him to the core, as we're going to hear about later. And this is how he went into the sanctuary, cut to the core. In fact, his heart, it says probably in a lot of your translations, was grieved. But that word grieved means bitter. His heart was bitter going into the sanctuary of God. He was cut to the core by his comparisons with the wicked to the godly. And that was the truth of Asaph's heart and mind and attitude. And that's what he went into the sanctuary with, to meet with a God of truth who would speak the truth to his truth and change him. And change him. And that's what happens in that communication, in those conversations. Well, like all great relationships, we must relate to God and respond to him and communicate with him in the honesty of our true condition. Come just as we are. His mercy is always waiting for us, and it was waiting for Asaph. It was truly waiting for him. His grace waits for us. When you come in truth, he will meet you with mercy. Do you remember one of my favorite little, I always say that about everything. One of my favorite verses, though, is Psalm 85:10, where it says, "Mercy and truth have met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed." And this is what happens when we come to the God of truth with our truth. It's intimate communion. It's intimate because we come just as we are. and the righteousness of God will kiss us, and there will be peace mutually enjoyed by both you and God. Isn't that just the truest, the best? We know this in part with our human relationships, when we can just be ourselves with one another, right? And I'm not judged by you, but instead mercy is meeting the truth of who I am, right? It's just, it's the most beautiful thing, and we have it all the time with God, all the time. It's so beautiful. It's so intimate. It's described like a kiss, right, and an embrace. And that's what God met Asaph with, and that is what he meets us with every time. So the challenge, we develop our spiritual ears by staying in the truth, by knowing God's character. We need to have continual, connected, and careful time in God's word. It's where we're learning about who God is, and we're developing in his word a discernment for his voice so that we can easily discern what we're hearing. Is it from the heart of God, the heart of man, or Satan? This happens as we spend time in God's word, getting to know this God of truth, getting to know the truth of God. We're developing our spiritual ear. We can easily discern now the voice of God, the heart of God, the heart, what is from the heart of man, or what is from Satan. Okay. Number three, conversations with God lead to conversions. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then we read that Asaph's mind was changed, his heart and desires were changed, and his faith was changed. So his mind, he said that he went into the sanctuary vexed in mind in verse 16. I just want to make sure I wrote that down correctly. Well, your translation might say something different than vexed, but this word vexed, the best way for me to describe this from what I had read and like could kind of gather from this Hebrew word was what I think the term we would use is cut to the core. Like he was just cut to the core by what he was seeing. Like this wasn't just some kind of like he's bothered by the wicked and the ungodly and what was going on. This cut him to the core so that it was literally, he says, painful for him as he tried to understand how this could be. You know, that the godless were prospering and their lives seemed to be carefree. He says that they had more than their heart's desire, while God's people seemed to be suffering from many troubles. Poor health at times, and we're carefully obeying the law. And he even says, what good is this doing? You know, that we're being careful to do this. He was cut to the core over this. I would imagine he's just like angry, like it wasn't making sense to him whatsoever. And he went into the sanctuary of God like this, and he comes out declaring in verse 17, then what? Then I understood. Then what did he understand? Well, God gave him revelation of what was going to the end of the wicked. What would be their end of the godless? And, you know, we can sometimes go into our fellowship time, our commune time with God, conflicted and confused and needing answers, and we don't always come out like Asaph came out, right? Like clearly understanding the end of something. Like God granted Asaph this understanding, and I imagine it gave him great relief and brought great peace. In fact, it did if you continue to read on in Psalm 73. But we are not always given that kind of understanding, are we? But here's what should happen every time you have a conversation with God. If there were one thing that you take away, one thing that you pull out, it should be that God is good. even if I don't understand. And in fact, if you look at verse 1, what does Asaph begin and open up this psalm with? What does it say? Truly, God is good. He wrote this after his time in the sanctuary with God. It was his first and foremost declaration and takeaway from his time in the sanctuary. Truly, God is good. And that, if we have nothing else from our takeaway conversations with God, if we go in perplexed, vexed, confused and conflicted, and come out not understanding yet, let us come out with truly God is good at the very least, okay? The very most. Truly God is good. When we remember that God truly is good, no matter what we don't understand or what's going on in our life, we have that peace that surpasses what? Understanding. That will guard our hearts and mind while we wait. While we wait. And so this is what was changed. His mind went from vexed to then I understood. Then I understood. And also his heart was changed and his desires. Until Asaph went into the sanctuary of God, his heart was envious. You can read earlier in the psalm. He was envious of the wicked and their prosperity and their ease of life. And he was also, so that speaks of a divided heart. When we're envious of something or someone, it speaks of a divided heart. Things weren't adding up for Asaph. And before he went into the sanctuary, perhaps this was Asaph's equation for happiness and satisfaction. God plus good health plus wealth plus, or let's put minus, troubles equals happiness, satisfaction, right? Before he goes into the sanctuary, that may have been, we know it was something plus God, or God plus something, because it wasn't just God. He had a divided heart. And so what conversation transpired in the sanctuary, we don't know. But when Asaph came out, he came out with a converted heart and converted desires. He recognized the true condition of his heart. He says in verses 21 and 22 that he was foolish. He recognized this because God revealed this in the sanctuary, in the conversation. He recognizes that he was foolish, ignorant, and perhaps your translation says grieved, right? His heart was grieved. That word grieved means bitter. He was actually bitter. So don't feel sorry for him right there, right? He wasn't just like, oh, I'm just so sad. I just can't handle this. And he might have been. But that word means bitter. Like he was so envious of the godless that he was bitter about it. Well, bitter at who then? Bitter at what? Maybe God? Maybe bitter that he was taking the time to follow the law, taking time to go through the rituals of cleansing, purifying his heart, and he's like adding it up. It doesn't add up. Shouldn't God's people be the ones prospering? Shouldn't God's people be the one living the life of ease? It wasn't adding up to him until he went into the sanctuary of God. Then his mind was changed. And then his heart and desires were converted and changed. He makes a confession to God. I was a beast before you. But now he has a heart wholly devoted and satisfied with God. And this happened in his conversation with God. He was convinced in that time with God that God was enough for him. Somehow, we don't know how, but God convinced him that he was enough for Asaph. Because afterwards, look at verse 25, Asaph declares after his conversation with God, "Whom have I in heaven but you? and there's none upon earth I desire besides you. And my flesh and my heart fell, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It converted his equation. Now Asaph's equation was God equals everything. It was no longer God plus good health plus wealth minus troubles equals happiness and satisfaction. God changed his equation. God proved he was enough. And so he comes out of this time with God and is able to declare God equals everything. God is my satisfaction. God is my portion. If I had no more good health, if I was sick from now until the day I die, if I lived on the streets from now until then, God is enough for me. He was able to declare that after his communion time, his fellowship with God, this precious time in the sanctuary. This is what God is getting at in our communion time, in our conversations with him, a whole heart. He wants to prove to us that he's enough. And he's doing a lot of that work in our communion time and fellowship time with him. So his faith was also changed. He went from verse 13, questioning and doubting God. He says, "Surely I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence." And he went from that, just even questioning the value of following God, right? And doing things God's way, spends time in the sanctuary with God and comes out. Faith changed, faith built up, because verse 1 we see where he proclaimed, "Truly God is good." Verses 22 and 23, he says, he sees his unfaithfulness, right? "I was a beast before you, acting foolishly, ignorantly." He sees his own unfaithfulness, but it says, "Nevertheless, I'm continually with you." He sees the faithfulness of God. And isn't that one of the most magnificent things that happens in our conversations with God? That as we come in the truth of who we are, which is oftentimes unfaithful, right? We're met with that mercy, and we remember that God is faithful, that we're continually with him. No matter what condition we're in, or how we come to God, or how far we've been away, or the last time you've even talked to him, he is continually with you, and he is upholding you with his right hand, just as he did with Asaph, and Asaph declared. So, the challenge, what I'd like you to write down and ask yourself, am I agreeing with what the Spirit is speaking to me? When you hear from God, are you able to agree with him? Are you able to receive correction? Are you repenting, even of the little things? Those little things matter. God is tweaking often by the little meetings, the little conversations. They're little tweaks often, you know, and little adjustments. Our conversations with God should be changing our minds, convicting our hearts, building up our faith, sanctifying our lives. And if these things aren't happening, we're not listening. I want to ask you as well, what is your equation for satisfaction? Is it God plus something? Okay, and lastly, conversations with God are first private and then public. So they're first private and then public. Asaph could have gone into the sanctuary with God, had a tremendous conversation with God, come out of the sanctuary with revelation about God, blessed, built up, converted, and with a heart that was more devoted than ever to God. And he could have stopped there, right? He could have stopped there. And oftentimes that's where we stop, isn't it? We have these amazing times with God. We are communing with Him, fellowshipping with Him, hearing from Him. We are being personally edified and built up by the Spirit of God. We are, our minds are being changed. We're being changed. We're being molded more and more into the image of God through those times. And we can stop there, and often we do. But Asaph didn't stop there. Our conversations with God are not meant to end with us. Yes, they're meant to be mutually enjoyed by you and God, and yes, they are meant to comfort you and encourage you and stir up your faith, but it's not meant to stop there. Your conversations with God are meant to be a blessing and a benefit to your families, to your friends, to those who don't know God, to those who God has put under your roof perhaps, to those God is sending you out to that you're working with or going to school with. We're not given the step-by-step, intimate, every word detail of the conversation between Asaph and God, but we are given what he was feeling, what things were like before he met with God. And we are given what God did after he spent time and after he communed with him. In verse 28, he says, "But as for me," and this is how he closes this experience and what he leaves with us. He says, "But as for me, I get as close to him as I can. I have chosen him, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things he does." It didn't end with Asaph, and he knew that. He wrote about it, his experience. He penned it. I mean, it got put into the most powerful book ever written. The book with the most longevity of any book ever written, forever. His conversation with God and the changes that took place and the wonderful things that God did for him are recorded forever because he took the time. God inspired him, yes, but God inspires a lot of us a lot of times, doesn't he? But how do we always follow through? Do we always do the things he inspires us to do? Well, these conversations, these private conversations, can be shared with others, and we don't have, like I said, we don't have to share the details of the conversations, but share the wonderful things, the wonderful work God is doing in your life with others. Here is where I believe our spiritual hearing will grow and increase radically. I mean, to me, the second most radical growth in our hearing from God and our spiritual listening skills after obeying what we're hearing, and after genuinely like getting down to that understanding that we just come as we are, we come in the truth, is when we get that it doesn't end with us. When we get that it's not all about us. These intimate personal conversations don't end with us. It is God's plan and purpose that you declare now, that you proclaim the wonderful works of God, and whether that be through writing or through singing or through sharing with your family, in whatever communication capacity God has given you, that you declare and share the wonderful works that God is doing in your life. That is part of the reason why God is communing with you powerfully and frequently. Why he's speaking to you, why he's changing you, so that others might know the power and love and intimacy of God. He wants to use you in that way. It's why I brought these to share with you tonight. I wrote this a few months ago, and it's just short. It's just a little booklet with some journal room, and in it I just shared super short, just a few of my personal stories with God, some of the fruit of my conversations with God I tucked away in here, and really as a means to hopefully inspire you to be and to help you develop your personal conversations with God, to hopefully stir up a responding to what you're hearing from God, what he's speaking to you, and how you're seeing him show up in your life. And so that's my way of sharing with you tonight, is instead of standing up here and sharing all these personal stories with you, I can leave that with you and you can take it home and just read about it. So let me just see here. Oh, yeah, our conversations should be fruitful and multiply. You know, our conversations with God, it's the way they can be fruitful and multiply is by sharing the wonderful things, like I said, that God is doing in you. And so I want to pray with you first, really quick, and then maybe what we can do is spend a few minutes on page, let me see where it's at really quick here. Page 20 in the little journal that was handed out. Because I think something really key in keeping communication alive and conversations alive with God is by responding all the time. Like any time you are hearing from him, to respond in some way. And so here's a way we can respond tonight, where it says recognizing God in the middle of the page there. Do you see that? Maybe you can make sure you're at least with another person at the table. If you're not, maybe you can get with at least one other person, but around the table, maybe you can share with one another those two things. Today, I learned something new about God's ability or his character or his plans or his purposes, and maybe you can share that thing that you learned about God today. Or maybe if it wasn't today or tonight, maybe this week you've learned something new about God. And will you share that thing that you learned, something new about God, with the people at your table? And then also, maybe you read or heard something interesting about God that makes you curious to know more about him. And so will you also share that thing as well with one another? And I think that would be a great response for tonight. But let me pray for you. We're going to, we still have worship tonight and a few other things. So we'll spend maybe about 10 minutes sharing with one another at the table. So like I said, if you're by yourself at a table, why don't you just pick up your Bible and just go and sit at a table nearby that has more people. And so you could share those things. Father God, we thank you and praise you for being a God who desires relationship, a God who does not withhold any good thing from his children. We thank you, God, that you do speak, that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking. That's amazing. I pray, God, for all of us that you would tune up, God, our hearing, Lord, our spiritual hearing, that you would increase our spiritual hearing, Lord, that you would make us responders to you, Lord, that as you initiate these conversations, Lord, as you speak, God, that we would respond, that we would listen with an intent to obey, God, that we would come to you with a genuine desire to hear everything you want to speak, Lord, and God, that you would give us grace to hear the things that we shy away from and that we want to turn away from, God, and that you'd give us grace to listen and to respond to those hard things, Lord. And thank you for speaking, God. Thank you for the very personal ways in the way that you speak to each one of us individually, Lord, because I'm sure we all have a story we can tell about how you've used something so obscure, perhaps, so not even thought of that you would use, Lord, to speak. And so we thank you for those personal ways that you do, that you get through to us, God. and you know how to get through to us. And we praise you for that, Lord, because we need to be gotten through too. So, Lord, as your women sit around the table right now and answer these questions and share these things about you, Lord, and their hearts with one another, God, will your spirit continue? I just pray your spirit would continue to speak and reveal yourself, Lord. Answer if there have been things that have made us curious about who you are. I pray you'll answer those questions, Lord. And so bless our time together right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.